Today is the last day of 2023 and the last Sunday of 2023. And I was praying before the Lord a few weeks ago saying, Lord, what would you have me preach on? What would you like me to, what is your will concerning Mosaic House Church on the last day and the last Sunday of 2023? You know what the Lord said to me? Nothing. I heard nothing, that is to say. It wasn't an audio recognizable voice, but I did sense the Lord saying to me, clearly, preach Moses' sermon. And you say, which one? All right? Moses gave lots of sermons in the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. Strange name, and I'll say more about that. But Moses preached this sermon, which I'm going to deliver to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord willing. And this sermon is all about two things. Repeat after me. Grace.
Grace.
Obedience. One more time. Say grace. Say obedience. That's it. The entire sermon is on those two truths. In fact, every sermon should be about grace and obedience. In fact, not only on this day, the last day of 2023, but every day, each day for the rest of our lives, we should remember. What are those two words again? Grace, obedience. That's it. In light of God's grace, as you remember what Jesus has done for you, how should we respond? In a word, in obedience, in trust, in worship. So I want to come to you, I want to bring before you, I should say, Moses' sermon in the book of Deuteronomy. Okay, now, you have heard me say in the past, and this is so important, whenever you come to the Holy Scripture of the Lord Most High God, you must ask those following questions. Who wrote it? To whom was it written? And why was it written in the first place? Only then you can find out what it means for you today. Got it? Okay? Very important. So many people that I know today, they just go to the Bible, they open it, they go, they read it, and they go, okay, what does it mean for me today? Well, you're not going to find the truth and the grace until you ask, who wrote it? To whom was it written? And why was it written in the first place anyways? Okay? So, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Anyone? Children? Boys and girls? Tell you what, okay? My dentist gave me a Christmas gift, a big bowl of lollipops. So if children, boys and girls, if you remain attentively and listening and participating with mom and dad and with all of us, with your parents' permission, you may receive a lollipop, thanks to my dentist. All right? So, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Anyone under the age of 12 can answer this. Anyone? Boys and girls? Boys and girls under the age of 12. How about under the age of 15? How about under the age of, yes, Grace?
Moses!
And everyone said? Way to go. Moses wrote the book to the Israelites. They are the recipients. Why was it written? Now, just give me 1 minute. When the people of Israel were living in the bondage, in the slavery, under the oppression and the yoke of the Egyptians, laboring, toiling away every day, God sent Moses to the people of Israel. Because God remembered his promise, his covenant to Abraham. And God said, Moses, bring my people out of Egypt and bring them into the land of milk and honey, the promised land. So Moses comes in the power of God, delivers the people of Israel out of the bondage. And for the next, boys and girls, how many years did they travel, walk in the wilderness? How many years? Boys and girls, do you have a hand up there? Say it. Lucas? 40. You got it. He said 40. Right, Dad? He said 40? 40 years in the wilderness, and they are walking towards the promised land, the land flowing milk and honey. Now, right before the Jordan River, Moses standing there with the Israelites, and he can see it with his own eyes. He can smell the things growing beyond the river of Jordan. But the Lord said to Moses, you will not lead the people into the promised land. So right before Moses dies, he gives this sermon. So that's the context. Got it? Very important. Land of Egypt, free, walking in the wilderness for 40 years. And right before the land of milk and honey, Moses gives his last sermon. Pretty important. So that's the setting. You follow? So let's go before the Lord and hear the word of the Lord from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 1 through 20. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today. That concept, that idea will be repeated. In fact, MJ, put this slide on, please. Whenever there is repetition, let's say it together, everyone. When there is repetition, then pay attention. And in this last sermon of Moses, you will hear things like this, things that are being repeated. Let me quote them for you. Remember the Lord your God. Do not forget the Lord your God. Be careful to follow every command. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. So that is the main repetition. So remember these important things. Let's continue. Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. Not that God would know, because he already knows, but that you would know. He was testing whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Pause. This weird name, the title of the book, Deuteronomy, you know what it means? It's so strange. The Hebrew title is, these are the words. That's what it means. These are the words. Or simply, the words. Okay? The Greek rendition of the translation is the repetition of the word. God is repeating his word. Now, more specifically, I will say later on, not just any words, but the words of God pertaining to his covenant, his promise, his oath. Okay? And isn't it interesting that in this passage, man, woman, boy, girl, no one should not live on bread alone, but on every what? Every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's continue. Verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe, key word being repeated, repetition here. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. So picture this, land flowing with food, resources, technology, wealth, the promised land. Now here comes the warning. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and you have and all you have is multiplied, would you join me in reading verse 14? Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Thank you. Verse 15. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength, the strength of my hand, have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Here comes the warning. Blessing and cursing. I'm going to ask you to join me to read verse 19 and all the way to the end. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed like the nations the Lord destroyed before you. So you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You loved the passage until the very end. Am I right? Okay. Now, before I go to the text, just one more really important information about the book of Deuteronomy. When you look at the whole structure of the book, it follows something called, MJ, could you put the slide for the suzerain vassal covenant, please? Okay, here. Look over here. Let me explain it. Okay. So in those years, there were lots of people and nations and tribes living. Some are small and weak, some are big and strong, right? Okay. So let's suppose we are one people. We are one nation. We are one tribe. And we are under an attack by another people, another nation, much bigger, much stronger. And we have no chance, none whatsoever, protecting ourselves. We would be defeated, we'll be captured, and we will become slaves. Got it? So what do we do? What do we do? What can we do? Here's what we do. we call upon a great king. So the word suzerain is a fancy name for great king. Okay? We say, oh, great king, would you please save us, deliver us? So the king comes to our aid, and he destroys our enemy, and he sets us free. Got it? Okay? And then afterwards, the king and we, the people, the vassal, we would make a covenant, a treaty, which stipulates the conditions as to how we should live with this great king. If we obey, there will be blessing. And if we disobey, there will be cursing. Got it? And that's what exactly follows in the entire book of the whole book of Deuteronomy. And Moses' sermon follows the same format. There is the king's great saving act. God delivered us from Egypt. God provided for us in the wilderness. God gave us food. God gave us clothes. God gave us sandals. And then he brought us into the promise. The mighty acts of God is described. The second part is the subject's obligation. We will obey the king. We will serve the king. And then the last piece is, if we obey, there will be blessing, and if we disobey, there will be cursing. That's what happened in those days. And Moses, in the power of the Holy Spirit, gave that sermon in the same format. The great God saved us, provided for us, brought us into the promised land, and therefore we will gladly worship and obey the Lord. And if we don't, curse be upon us. How did you like that? Everything except the last part. I'll get to the last part at the very end of my sermon. But for now, here is the theme and the goal of the sermon. Write these words in your sermon outline. Celebrating God's faithfulness leads you to trusting in God's fruitfulness. When you celebrate God's faithfulness of the past and the present and of the future, you will build your trust in his fruitfulness. Let me put it this way. Repeat after me, everyone, boys and girls. God's grace leads to our obedience. One more time. God's grace leads to our obedience. Any one of us here, when we are blessed by God's faithfulness and by his grace, the saving act, delivering us and providing for us, being our Heavenly Father, when that is given to us, and when you experience that grace, what do? The only right and fitting response is our obedience. Jesus prayed this way, if you love me, you will obey my commands. My wife and I, we were invited to a dinner at a house. Young family, lovely family, okay? And we were having a wonderful evening, enjoying delicious food, meaningful conversations, and this couple has a son and a daughter, and the son's about, 10-ish, and we have these conversations, and I said, hey, how do you know that your daddy loves your mommy? You know what he said? He said, he takes out the garbage. He washes the dishes. He says nice things about mommy. How do you know that you love God? How do you know? When you take out the garbage, when you wash the dishes, when you say nice things. No. God says, your Heavenly Father says, in the words of Jesus Christ, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey me. So our obedience is an act, proof, display of our love for the Lord. That's it. So God's grace leads to our obedience. So let's get to the first point. Then how do we celebrate God's grace? How do we celebrate God's faithfulness so that we may trust in God's faithfulness? Number one, write this word. Remember God's grace. Remember God's grace. Verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. My friends, it starts with God's grace. It ends with God's grace. And everything in between is God's grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. It's all about the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not deserving. You are not worthy. None of us earned it. And yet, but out of the gracious goodness of Jesus Christ, God the Father graces you, saves you, accepts you, and loves you when we are unworthy. It's all about grace. So remember God's grace. Verse 11. So let's go to number 2. So therefore, when you remember God's grace, it will lead you to your obedience. Write the word obey. Obey God's commands. Verse 11. Be careful. Please. Don't forget. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, verse 12. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, when you have a baby, when you get a promotion, when you buy your second car, and you park it in your garage, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Hear me. If you fail to obey God's commands, what's going to happen is this. Your heart will become proud. Your heart will deceive you. And your heart is an expert professional in deceiving your own heart. And how does it do it? It wasn't God's grace in the first place. Really. Oh, yes, Lord. You gave me opportunities. Thank you, Lord. You gave me my hands. Thank you, Lord. You gave me my brain. Thank you, Lord. But I use them. I deserve it. The blessings I have now, the things I enjoy now, it's because of me. I mean, you get some credit, but not all the credit. And that's how your heart becomes proud and deceives you. And you know what the Lord says? The next verse. Oh, my goodness. Would you join me in reading this passage? You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Friends, did you hear me? Starts with grace, ends with grace, and everything in between is grace. Even the hands with which you produce wealth, even the brain which you used to produce your wealth, all of it have come from the gracious hands of your Heavenly Father. And that's why we must, God warns us, obey my commands, lest you become proud. So I'm going to pause right here. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to get in groups of three, at least three, but no more than four. Okay? At least three, no more than four. So boys and girls, you know what to do. Everyone, just ask and answer and share this question. Can you think of one form of grace of God in 2023? How has God been faithful to you in 2023? Just one thing. Share that. One act of grace. One event of grace. So, 3 to 4. Go. Let's wrap it up in 1 minute. 1 minute, wrap it up. Okay, everyone, boys and girls, what do you see? What do you see? Okay, lollipops from my dentist, right? So you listen, you remain quiet, and you participate. With your parents' permission, you get one of these. What have you heard? One act, one event, one story of God's faithfulness and grace. What did you hear?
Provision.
Whose wedding? Walter and Brittany got married in 2023, and many of Walter's family members and relatives from Honduras were able to come and witness the wedding. Thank you. Right? What did you hear? Nothing? You guys in trouble. Oh my, that's a good one. They heard many people made bad choices, wrong choices, stupid mistakes, and yet they felt God was with them and helped them through nonetheless. Very good. Did you have a hand there, Grace? Speak up loudly. Okay, Grace said when she got baptized, she received the promise from God that He will be with her. When were we baptized? When you were a baby. Oh, okay. So that didn't happen in 2023, I was going to say. You look more than one, okay? Thank you, thank you. People? So much has happened that you can't remember everything in the last 10 years. You got it. Thank you, Grace. Okay. God's grace leads to our obedience, okay? Right? So as you remember, it leads to your obedience. Lastly, number three. In the meantime, welcome God's disciplining. Number three, welcome God's disciplining. Verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. He humbled you, verse 3, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors has known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. You may have experienced your father's disciplining in 2023. Maybe in terms of finances, whether in terms of health. I'm not saying that was the case. But if that were the case, God either did it directly or he allowed it indirectly. And if he did so, and that's because, not that he hates you, not that he doesn't accept you, it's because he loves you. God the Father disciplines only when he loves you. Because if he didn't love you, he wouldn't bother disciplining you. So therefore, welcome your Heavenly Father's disciplines today and year 2024. He may cause you to even become more humble. Now look, look, look. If you are in financial difficulties, God's will for you is that you become financially responsible. God's will for you is that you become healthier and wealthier. Only if you can handle the wealth, only if you can handle the blessing. He will not give you that which will destroy you. He will not give you the promotion if he knows that that's going to make you proud and make you falter and stumble. But when he does so, it is so that you may be corrected. So remember, welcome his discipline. Let me end with this. What's the last part of that king-subject covenant? First one was God's act, king's act. Second thing was the obligation of the subjects. And what was the last thing? Blessing and cursing, yeah, the thing that you didn't like. Yeah? If you obey God, then he'll prosper you. If you disobey, then you will be destroyed. Let me bring you to Jesus. Here's Galatians chapter 3. Listen carefully. Here's the difference that Jesus makes. Because when it is about grace, it is grace all the way. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. That's me. That's you. That's all of us. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law was not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Verse 13. Everyone, would you read verse 13 with me? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. Thank you. Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Friends, here's the deal. I did not live up to my obligation. I didn't fully obey the Lord. I didn't fully obey the law of God, the commands of God. I don't fully love God with all my heart. I should receive the curse. But when grace comes to you, when Jesus comes to you, He brings grace 100% all the way from the beginning to the end and everything in between. Jesus, it says, He was cursed. He got hung on the tree, on the pole, on the cross. He took my curse. He took my failures. And He took my place on the cross. And in return, He gave me His blessing. That is amazing. He took my cursing and He gave me His blessing. That is why, even though I fail at times, even though I can't do it on my own, I respond to the grace when I think about Jesus' grace. Father, I want to obey You more. Father, I want Your grace to become even greatly magnified today, tomorrow, and 2024. And not only I, but all of us, not only all of us, but the entire neighborhoods and our workplaces because of our obedience. Pray with me. Heavenly Father in heaven, our God and Lord, the great suzerain King, we remember Your grace, and therefore we are led by the power of the Holy Spirit to obey You more fully today than yesterday, more fully tomorrow than today. Oh Lord, give us strength. And we do welcome, though it is hard, though it is very hard, we do welcome Your hardship and discipline in our lives. Lord Jesus, how can we thank You more? How can we thank You? How can we respond to Your grace? Only one way. Would You receive our obedience? Obedience. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.